I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Uper.
In front there for Lesperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot on the bar! Oh, Gillies with the goal!
I love UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Held in. The penalty is over. Shoot!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembron.
All right, let's do it. Michigan Tech Hockey advancing to the semifinals of the WCHA tournament. It'll be a best-of-three series against the, well, one of the best teams in the nation right now. Arguably the best, right now ranked third in the coaches' poll in Minnesota State Mankato. Head coach Joe Schott coming off a great weekend at Bemidji State, sweeping the Beavers on the road, the only road team to win their first round series in the WCHA playoffs. Coach, congratulations on the series win, and welcome back to the studio.
Great, thanks, Dirk.
So, your thoughts, I know we've had a couple of days to digest it, and you don't like going over this anymore because you're already moving forward to the next weekend, and I understand that, but people want to hear your thoughts again on, you know, just the series in general and how intense it was, especially there at the end of that second game.
It was a good series. Bemidji played well. They're a tough team. They're tough in their own rink. Our guys played extremely well as well. So, I thought Devin did a really good job of on Saturday night of buying us time to get rolling a little bit, and it took us a while. We got those two early goals, and then really it was they had some power plays in the second period that could have turned the game around. They did get one power play goal on a 5-on-3, but other than that, I thought Devin played extremely well for us. And then we had some guys make some great plays in the third period. We got a power play ourselves. Ended up scoring on it, Justin Misiak. Kind of a little bit of a broken play that got them to chase a little. When you watch it back, it was, kind of a little bit of a bobbled pass over to a little bit of a missed pass that drew Bemidji out into an aggressive, force. And then that freed up Justin Misiak at the net. And then we got the puck to that. I believe it was Ocker that got the puck through there on a good deflection. So that was a big one. And then we popped into a 4-on-2 line rush. And I think it was Lucha gave a great pass over to Joel Esperance who hammered it and got us that 4-1 lead. And then it got a little fun, after that, just crazy. We certainly want to be tighter in that situation. I don't think we'd let up, I don't think prior to that on the year we'd given up a goaltender out goal, a 6-on-5 goal. But they got three of them on us, and it was a little crazy. It wasn't like they were absolutely swarming us and shot after shot after shot. They just kind of two pucks in a row found their way into the net, and then they did get a kick at it at the end.
Yeah.
Now that was actually the one that was a little disheartening because they got us running around. We kept them out of our zone until there were about 10 seconds left in the game, and all of a sudden they threw a puck, and I think we just let up a little bit, and we started chasing, and they had a couple guys around the net there taking whacks at it, but Devin was good for us, and we got through it.
It was very stressful down the end. Not very often is an empty net goal a game winner, but that turned out to what it be. Mark Ock's empty net goal, which was from center ice or before center ice, would have been an icing call, but I thought that was just a real headsy play by him to take that chance and bury that, which turned out to be huge, obviously, for us.
Yeah, and right before that, Dylan Stamen's shot went in, and I watched it back, and it was an outstanding call by the referees, and what ended up happening, they called off sides on that play. And Grayson Reitmeier was on his knees. He was battling on the half wall right in front of the Bemidji bench. And his knees were over the line, but his feet were on on the other, like right on the blue line, and his feet were down, which would have made him fine. His feet were actually, he was on his knees and his toes were on the ice, touching the ice. But then he kind of lost balance. His toes just came up like 3 or 4 inches off the ice. And I'm sure that's what they were looking at for so long, that if his feet were on the ice, he was still on sides, because his feet were really on the other side of the blue line. So as it turned out, it was, it was a good call, but that was a hard call to make, because you never know how it could have impacted the game.
See, now I thought that was the guy trying to get out of the zone that they ruled offside on that.
I don't think there was a guy trying to get out of the zone. There might have been. I thought Grayson was the only guy there, but possibly. But Grayson was the one that said that he said, I don't know if I was over the line or not. He didn't know where he was, so it's hard to say on it. But.
It is. We're watching it right now.
Everybody's out of the zone.
Yeah.
No, it was completely Grayson. So, anyways, interesting.
but interesting call.
Good call by the referees. But it was actually a lot crazier than you think it was.
Yeah. But the Huskies end up getting the win 5-4, and let's take a look at some of the goals. First of all, let's go back to Friday night's game. Huskies really almost polar opposites in the way it was. We had all the power plays on Friday night. We had to come back and try to win the game. We did win the game. Where on Saturday night, they had all the power plays, and they were trying to come back and tie the game up and win the game, but we end up getting the lead. Both nights, Coach, we score first, which is, it's always big going into a building like that, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is. And there's statistics that show that the team that scores first has a huge advantage in the game, and some teams have, can't win at all if they don't score first. So, we were able to get on the board early. I think the thing that I like most, and I know you want to get into these goals.
No.
The thing that I like most about the weekend, is that when we needed it, and then I'm going to take away the goalie out stuff at the end. But when, on Friday night, I mean, it was just a grind for us. And then we got a couple of 5-minute majors there and, that got us back in the game a little bit, and then a couple other minor power plays that got us in the game. But when all that was said and done, and it was a tight game at the end, tie game at the end, we came back and tied it on Friday. We had some really good scoring chances in the last 5 minutes and didn't give up anything in the last 5 minutes on Friday night. And then ended up getting the goal with a minute left on a faceoff, won a faceoff play and got it through some traffic. Seamus Donahue got through some traffic. But the team played really well when they needed to play really well. They came together when they needed to play really well. Saturday night was basically the same thing. Second period kind of got away from us. And again, a lot of power plays, we had a lot of penalty kill in that, including a 5-on-3, but I think we had maybe 4 or 5 penalty kill efforts in that second period. In the third period, we were really good up to the time with, 3 minutes left when we gave up, or when we got the fourth goal to go up 4-1, we were really good. That was our best hockey of the weekend, was that first 15 minutes or so on Saturday night, in the third period. We did a great job. Didn't give up much. We gave up 3 scoring chances. One was kind of a goofy play where they flipped it out but we did a great job. Then with the goalie out, then things got a little bit goofy. But, when we needed to be really good, when we needed to be at our best, I thought that our guys pulled together. And that's a great characteristic that you're looking for. That's the grind. Everything you do is so that you have the ability to perform at the right time, and I give our guys full credit for that they performed at the right time this weekend.
Ton of points for the L'Esperance Lucchini Gould line this weekend, Coach. I mean, they're right back to kind of where they were early on in the season, where they're absolutely dominating out there.
Yeah, they were really good, especially L'Esperance and Lucchini. Gav was good, but Gav drew a lot of attention, and it was, relatively physical series. But I thought that Joel was a horse, and Luch found his openings that he needed to have. That goal that he got, the second goal, I believe, the power play goal on Friday night, that's something that, our coaches were talking about after the game in the locker room, that he out there, he took 50 of those same shots during the pregame skate that day. Just, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And then he got a great, he potted it, and it's, you gotta also look at the team we played against had, what did they have? Like a goals against going in on the weekend or something like that was 1 point something or low to 2 point.
Yeah, it was low twos.
And we scored 10 on the weekend. So, you got to give our guys full credit. That's a tough team. They'd beaten Mankato the weekend before in an overtime game, shootout, whatever it was. And Mankato had another one goal game or an empty net goal game, something like that. So, Bemidji's good. They're a tremendous hockey team, well coached, and you can't take anything away. Our guys did a phenomenal job.
So we score the first goal in the game on Friday. Then Bemidji comes back with the next three. Sjodahl scores, Beaudry scores on the power play. Harrison in the second period scores on the power play. And all of a sudden we're down 3-1. We get a couple of big power play goals, though, from Jake Lucchini.
Back up top for Mark Ock. Ock for Ranky. Ranky's got a chance in front for Lucchini, and he scores. Jake Lucchini with the goal. Another great shot by Jake right in the middle, and he wristed that one very similar to the one he had last week against Northern Michigan, and the Huskies have pulled within one. Beavers will clear it out, and the Huskies are now down to 2 minutes and 37 seconds in their second 5-minute major. Here's a play by Luch, right to the front of the net, backhand shot, and they score! Jake Lucchini comes in, makes a move, and somehow it got back to him, and he ties the game up, his second goal of the game.
And Jake said after the game that he was trying to obviously send it over to Misiak, who was breaking down that right post, and a stick got in the way, got in the lane, went right back to him, a little bit of puck luck there, and he buried it on the backhand.
Yeah, how about the very similar to, remember a couple years ago against St. Cloud in the playoffs?
Yeah.
They come down, we do everything right. A shot block goes right back, right to a guy, open guy, and he puts in the net in overtime in the national tournament against us. So, it was a great play by a great player. Got us into the game, and Bemidji was doing a great job of penalty killing at that time. They were keeping a lot of pressure on us, but we were able to get in the net, and that's what you do.
As you look back at that first goal by Jake towards the end of that second period, obviously that's maybe the biggest goal of the game, because you cut that lead down to one going into the third instead of down by two.
Yeah, and it would have did, it lifted the bench. Yeah. You know, you get that morale going in the third period and things like that. So it was a battle, great grind, great play. We were 2-for-7 against the number, going into the weekend, I think they were number 3 on the penalty kill in the country. We were 2-for-7 that night and 1-for-2 on Saturday night. So, our guys did a good job. And even on the penalty kill, they were 2-for-2, I believe, with 2 scoring chances. So, the shots they were able to get at the net, screens and things like that were able to go in the net. But it was another one of those deals twice where it went right down to the very end of the penalty kill where they scored with seconds left. We've had a lot of those. So, but again, all in all, pretty, a great effort by the guys, great effort on the special teams. Big win.
So let's set up this. What turns out to be the game-winning goal. The face-offs were unbelievable on Friday night.
Yeah, we're 65%.
65%. Joel Esperanz was 13-7. Dylan Stamen, who you're going to hear gets the assist here, 11-4. Jake Lucchini, 7-2. Alex Smith, 5-3. Mason Blacklock, 4-2. Misiak, 2-1. Jake Jackson, 1-0. Grayson Reitmeier was even .500. He took 2 draws, 1-1. And the only one that was below .500 is a non-centerman. Baltus had to step in and take 1 draw. He was 0-1. I mean, really, 44-21. And that is why the Huskies were able to get this big goal.
The Huskies, remember, if this game ends in or third period ends in a tie, they go to a regular overtime. They'll all resurface and everything. Huskies win the draw back. Here's a shot. Scores! Seamus Donahue with the goal right through with 1:30 left. He fired a wrister, and it beat Fitzer, who I don't even think saw it. And the Huskies have taken their second lead of the game.
Dylan Stamen wins that back. He gets the only assist on that goal that came at the 18:30 mark. 1:30 left to go in the game. You said you got a pretty good view of that goal from the bench, hey?
Yeah, we had a great, it was right there. We could see the opening, we could see the screen in front, and we could see it go. It was a far side shot. It was a tremendous play, tremendous shot. Got it off quick, got it through traffic, and it was, again, it was a huge goal for us. Hey, do you hear the band?
Yeah.
Like,
awesome.
How can you not? The Misfits there giving it, the band there, and they were in opposite corners kind of away from our bench, so we could see the band to our right, a classy move by Bemidji letting them play the national anthem. And then to our left is the Misfits up there in their corner. So we occupied opposite corners right across from the bench of the rink. It was great. And what great support they gave us.
It was awesome. One of the little, quirks, I guess, in that game on Friday night, I don't know if you noticed it, but, the Tech Pep Band started playing the fight song when you guys were coming out, while at the same time Bemidji was coming out too, and they're wondering why the Tech fight song was being played, you know, when they're coming out.
Isn't that great?
It turned out, yeah, it was awesome. And like you said, the national anthem, I had chills just the fact that they were in a different building playing the national anthem like that. And I think that's really cool that Bemidji allows
that. Yeah, classy,
very
tremendously classy. Yeah.
All right, so Jake Jackson gets the empty netter. Huskies win 5-3 on Friday night, 32-25. Michigan Tech out shooting Bemidji State 14-2 in that third period, thanks to all of the power play time and just really good defense too by the Huskies down the stretch there. Huskies 2-for-7 on the man advantage with 14 shots on goal. BSU was 2-for-2 with 6 shots on goal. Different feel to Saturday night's game. We'll talk about that. Don't forget to get your questions in. I see some of you have. DJ at themix93.com. If you're listening here on Monday morning, we are live, and we will ask those questions for you to Coach Sean coming up in a little bit. It's the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93.
You can always count on the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Just like you can always count on Always Game Gary. Yay! No bar is too far. No wing sauce is too hot. Not for Gary. Gary is the man. He's nothing like Keith. Keith never wants to do anything. Why are we even talking about Keith? Always Game Gary is famous among friends. He deserves a Bud Light. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. AB St. Louis, Missouri.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingan knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock, 337-5049 Lorium.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her and all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
When you're looking for that special something for you or yours, come see us at the campus store in the Memorial Union Building or University Images at the Student Development Complex. We freshen up our inventory with brands such as Kickerland, Mustard, Jenny's, and Haiku. And check out our updated lines of Everest, Nike, Under Armour, and Champion. Browse our social media feeds for updates on our sales, promotions, services, and business hours. For all things Michigan Tech, visit us at University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. We thank you for your patronage and look forward to seeing you soon.
Back to the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. And our email address again, DJ@themix93.com. That's DJ@themix93.com. Let's talk a little bit about Saturday night. Again, it's a game that, boy, if you can win that one, obviously you not only win the series, but you save yourself that energy of a third game, too, going into the next series, which is big, right?
Yeah, but the momentum shifts if you know if Bemidji takes game two, the momentum shifts. So it was a huge game for us. We knew it was a huge game for us. We didn't want to take anything for granted. If we had the opportunity to close it, we wanted to close it. And we also wanted to see how our athletes perform. You know, how they're able to step up and perform in in an elimination type game where a team that you're trying to put a team away. Not easy to do, especially in their rank, especially defending league champions. It's not an easy feat, and it was a tough battle for sure.
All right, well. But what a great start. I mean, just a tremendous start for the Huskies.
He'll send it to the wing, right to the net. Here's a loose puck. Lesperon trying to find it. Gould is back in. Here's a shot. Here's a chance for Reinke. He scores! Mitch Reinke buried it finally as the Huskies had three or four opportunities. Pitzer couldn't find it. It was just kind of being battered around between skates. And the Huskies 41 seconds into the game. Score, Mitch Ranke.
You know, you watch that over and over again, and you're thinking, okay, somebody's going to put this puck in that. Somebody's going to put this puck in that. And all of a sudden, you see Ranke kind of coming from out of the screen, and oh, maybe it's going to be him. Sure enough, it bounces right back to him, and he made sure.
Yeah, great to have him in the lineup, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he's just a great hockey player, and he buried it. And there was a scramble there, as you mentioned, a lot of whacks and a lot of hacks going at it, and the puck popped out to Mitch, who kind of squeezed down in the zone, and he put it up under the bar, so it was a great goal.
So the Huskies go up by a score of 2-0 with this tremendous play.
So a power play for Bemidji State. That means a penalty kill brought to you by Gary Jorgensen of Lake Accounting. But here's a shorthanded opportunity for Les Brown. Slides it over. Here's a move and a goal by Lucchini. Oh, what a play by the Huskies. Short-handed goal, perfect pass by L'Esperance. Lucchini made a move on Fitzer and buried it on the backhand, and the Huskies are up 2-0.
Two things that I really like about that goal, Coach, is first of all, kids out there, you wonder why you practice your saucer passes. That is why you do it, because that was a tape-to-tape, perfectly flat sauce pass by L'Esperance right to Lucchini. He didn't have to even think about, you know, worrying about mishandling it or anything.
No, and it, you know, you look at it and you think Luch could have possibly caught it and shot it right away. And what ended up happening is he hung onto it and Bitcher kind of slid by and he backhand tucked it in the net, which kind of set up a little bit possibly the next goal or the fourth goal by L'Esperance, because a very similar type play, pass across the things, and Bitcher didn't come across as quickly as he did on Lucchini there and didn't get across in time. And on the next one, Joel opened up on our fourth goal and blasted it in. So, that goal right there might have set up the fourth goal in some ways.
So we went up by a score of 2-0 in the first period. We lead 2-0. 9 shots apiece in that first period. And we go to the second period. Jerry Fitzgerald on the power play makes it a 2-1 game for Bemidji State.
Here's White Cloud over. One-timer blocked in front by Markov. Back up top, Fitzgerald again. He'll shoot, scores! There, Fitzgerald with the goal, Jerry. And that, we'll see if that was at the end of that first one or not. It's very, very close, and they're probably going to look at this again, but the Huskies might be back to full strength.
And we were back to full strength, and that was a nice break by us there, by that break that the time had already expired on that first penalty.
Yeah, but another look at that. We were right down. They had over a minute of 5-on-3, and we're right down to the very end of it.
Right.
And they score the goal. We get through that, get a player out, and maybe we can hold that 2-0 lead. So that's been our penalty kill. That's been our fortune this entire season.
The Huskies, though, come back. There were a lot of penalties against us. First of all, the first 5 penalties of the game, Dylan Stamen, Gavin Gould, Joel L'Esperance, Seamus Donahue were the first 5 penalties of the game. All of them came in the second period, with the exception of Dylan Stamen's hooking call in the first. But the Huskies come back and get their third goal of the game.
Over for Ranke. He's going to have to step up on the play. And it taken away. Ranke with a good job to get it back. Now Ranke lost it, but he got it over there somehow. Here's the scores! Oh, what a play by Markov as he buried it. And it might have been tipped in front. The Huskies have taken a 2-goal lead on a power play goal with 6:59 remaining. It is Justin Misiak who will get credit for the redirect.
Justin Misiak and the pregame skate coach on Saturday sat there for a long time.
Same thing.
And just worked on tipping the puck in front of the net.
Just like we talked about with Luch, you know, you go to an NHL practice and that's what you'll see. You know, I remember going back in the day and you watch Brett Hull, the things that he's making, the one-timers he's doing after practice. Al McGinnis, St. Louis Blues, 100-mile-an-hour slap shot, shooting shot after shot after shot on the backup goaltender. You just feel painful for the backup goaltender having to take all those shots. You got Holmstrom in Detroit net standing in front of the net while Lidstrom and Matthew Schneider are taking one-timers. Pros know their bread and butter. They work on their bread and butter. They make sure that they have that part of their game never falters, and then they work on the other parts of their game. And our guys do that as well. They sit there and they do things repetitiously over and over. Luch did it with the shot that he scored on Friday night in the power play. It got us through. Right there, same thing was Misiak in front. He's got a couple of those in front deflections on the power play where he's spending that extra time. He knows he's playing net front force. He's not a big body. He's Dino Cicerelli like in front of that net there, and a huge goal. That was a tremendous goal, because in the game, second period, momentum certainly shifted. First period, I thought we had great momentum. We played well. Second period, momentum shifted. Some special teams involved. on top of that, some energy, some panic, maybe not panic, but assertiveness for sure by Bemidji. They're down 2-0, an elimination game. They're coming at us harder. And I thought in that game, we were sensing some false pressure. And that's one thing that's a big thing we're going to have to learn is that poise, is that we were giving up the puck way too easily. We weren't managing the puck through the ice. We were in a lot of ways, winning defensive battles and then giving it right back to them. Not so much with turnovers. Our turnovers were down and they've been coming down, considerably in the last month or so. It's been a great thing from the first night in Bowling Green. That's been a big focal point for us and we've done a much better job. We're continuing to grow at that in practice and in the games. But I think we're giving up the puck when we didn't necessarily need to be giving up the puck, where we could have been moving our feet, taking some ice, creating some open ice, getting the puck into good ice, between the dot areas and things like that, and not just playing the game up the walls and chipping it back to them so they could counter and transition and at worst get it deep and forecheck us and pound on our D a little bit. So I think that's the biggest area that we need to, and when we got into the third period, I'm changing gears here, but when we got into the third period, we managed it a little bit better when the game was on the line and we were able to open it up a little more and we controlled it much better. So, but that's, I think, a big deal that going forward this year, next year, we have to make sure that we don't create pressure that's not there. There's enough pressure in the game. There's enough guys on you executing the forecheck, read the play, read the pressure and get yourself out of trouble.
One instance with that, and I do remember in the second period, Lucchini was coming out of our zone and it seemed like he had enough time to get to that red line.
Icing.
And he iced the puck on that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
what you're talking
about. Yeah. And there was a lot of that in the game where we kept telling our guys, make some plays, fellas, make some plays. Where before we were telling our guys not, don't force plays. Don't lead. So there's a balance of learning what's there and what's not there. And that's the art of hockey. That's the chess. That's the management is not trying to make things. There's a time to take chances. And that time is when you're down late in the game. There's time to, you have to do things differently. You have to try to create something to happen. But when you're up, certainly, and especially on the road, especially at certain points of the game, sometimes you have to play it safe, but there are times you have to manage that puck and sense where it is, get to open ice and not just be passing on the problem to somebody else. And I think that's kind of what I'm getting. And you had a good example of that. That icing call, we had plenty of time to get the blue line. We sensed pressure that wasn't necessarily there. A lot of times a guy will be banging his stick, screaming at you, like he's coming after you, and he's not. He's balking you. He's decoying you. And, you can get yourself caught up, especially on the road, where you're just taking it and you're shoveling and getting rid of that puck and ultimately passing it right to the guy that's backing off you because he's getting away from you and he's the next closest guy and you're giving him the puck.
Yeah, it's funny because when that play happened with Lucchini, I knew Luch was upset at himself and I specifically watched you to see if you were going to address him and all. And you did. You said, get to the line.
Yeah, get the feet moving.
Yeah, get the feet moving. All right. One of my favorite goals of the weekend, Joel Esperance.
Mark Ock is able to get it up the center ice. Huskies will get it in deep. Line change being made. Quick shifts from Michigan Tech. Trying to keep everybody fresh out there. Nobody taking any chances they don't have to take. Dickman will get across the red line. He'll dump it down. Husky steal. And now Michigan Tech has a 4-on-2 coming back. Here's Burks for Lucchini. Over. One-timer scores! It is Lesperance with the one-timer. And the Huskies bury it to make it a 3-goal lead, 4-1.
Nice play. I mean, really mm-hmm. could not have tic-tac-toe that one any better.
No, and what I like about it is we had a defenseman up on the rush who distributed the puck. He didn't carry it in too deep. He was conscious of the defensive side of the puck and what he had to do. It was a 4-on-2. And then, some forwards made some plays and got the puck in. And I like how, Joel opened up for the play. I like how Luch delivered the pass. Joel didn't wait on it. He hit it hard. He hit it like a Blake Piella would hit the puck. He hit it hard and it was a big goal for us.
So as you look at the last three goals by Bemidji State coach, we have Dickman's goal who's kind of in front there and is able to find a loose puck and flip it high. Beaudry, and again, I'm still trying to figure out how that one went in where it kind of just looked like it just kind of rode up the shoulder of Carroll, and then of course Charlie Combs able to bury that one. Is there one out of those three that kind of make you most concerned or that you didn't like the most?
No, I didn't like any of them.
No, you know what I mean?
I didn't like any of them. The first one, Dickman, we had, he's in front of the net with, we have three guys in front with him. Mm-hmm. We gave him body position. He's a big body with a long reach, and the puck just kind of popped out to him, and he just kind of turned around and whacked it from standing right in front of the net into the net. I mean, get his stick off the ice, and he's a big body. I get that. But that was just a one-on-one battle in front of our net.
Gotcha.
The goal out of the corner was, again, a nothing play. There's no one in front of the net. It's at the hash mark. We have a guy pinned along the wall, basically, and he just kind of is just shoveling it from the wall, just a bouncy, roly puck going to the net, at about 2 miles an hour, and it hit off of Mitch Reinke's foot, I believe the top of his foot, as it was bouncing and bounced up over and rode up over Devin. And then the last one was a bad angle spin around shot from the right side where, I thought it went five hole on Dev. I thought it went through with the paddle down. But when I watched it after, it looked to me like it went far side on him.
Okay.
So, on that spin around. So, all of them, you know, with good attention to net front awareness for protecting home base, properly, like bearing down and not taking things for granted. I think all of them would have been defended properly. And again, that's, we continue to learn lessons as a team. The important thing is that the lessons aren't, you know, several of them lately aren't costing us, and we're headed in the right direction with our work ethic, attention to detail, understanding of concepts. We're getting great input from our players, suggesting different plays and different face-off alignments and different forechecking adjustments. Guys are engaged and interacting well with helping out, understanding within what we do. Some things that'll help us, can help us, and we make decisions based off of that. So, there's good awareness coming. I think that, you know, as a program as a whole, I think we're growing. We're going in the right direction.
We didn't dominate quite as much on faceoffs. We actually lost the faceoff battle on Saturday night. Was that adjustments that Bemidji made, you think, against this coach? Or
no, I think we had a lot of guys get booted out on draws, and
right.
And I think there's actually in that game there was there's a protocol on faceoff infringement. And they were jumping for sure. So they were jumping. They were trying to get on the inside and win those 50-50 puck battles on the faceoffs for possession, because that was a big part of Friday's game. We weren't getting, I don't think, the benefit of the doubt of trying to offset that and just trying to get into that guy on the faceoffs. So I don't, you know, what we got, we took one penalty for a tripping call or something like that. I believe it was on Gavin Gould on a face-off interference, trying to get on inside position and things. So, I think that they adjusted for sure, trying to beat us in inside position. But I think that there's several times that they could have gotten kicked out of the face-off circle. I don't recall once that they did alone in the game but we had a number of guys kicked out in out of the draw. So that tends to lead to their best face-off guys. On top of that, you know, they're putting their best guys out on all critical draws, which are offensive zone and defensive zone draws, which were the most of the game. So they have their best guys out there taking the draws, and we're having our best guys getting booted out often. So, all of our guys need to work on faceoffs. Everybody has a chance of possibly getting in there.
Final score, Michigan Tech 5, Bemidji State 4. Huskies sweep the Beavers in Bemidji and advance to the semifinal best-of-three series coming up this weekend. We'll talk more about other WCHA matchups this past weekend and what's coming ahead as Michigan Tech gets set to take on Minnesota State Mankato, the third-ranked team in the nation, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday if necessary.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay.
Save your bucks at Bucco's during their March Madness sale. All six packs of 16-ounce canned beer is on sale. 32-ounce Powerades are 10 for 10 bucks. Vitamin Waters and Core Organic Energy drinks are 4 for 5. Red Baron pizzas are 3 for $9.99. Kickstar Energy drinks are 4 for 4. And High Drive Energy drinks are only 99 cents. at Your Party Headquarters, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All sales do not include taxes or deposits.
Taco, Taco Man. You know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish tacos starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup.
And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
No, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No,
sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese. Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke. My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance? Are you concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Megan Kangas of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whether you are single, married, have a house full of kids, are retired and aging gracefully, whatever your situation, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, the Turvo Agency offers more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Stop in or give us a call at 482-0080.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Well, the Huskies winning their series over the weekend, the only road team to do so. There were some interesting other series. Some were not that interesting as far as the home teams having no problem with that. Minnesota State, the team that the Huskies will be facing, didn't have a whole lot of problems over the weekend. They kind of really showed that they are the team to beat in the tournament.
Yeah, I think they're leading the country in goals per game. Offensively dynamic. Lackavy stabilized the goaltending, done a great job for them. So, yeah, they didn't have too much problem. They were able to put the puck in the net and win that series relatively easily.
Well, it's unfortunate for the Northern Michigan Wildcats. Yes, they did win their series against Huntsville, but that loss in game two most likely took them out of the picture for maybe an at-large bid. Unless they win the, you know,
I don't know. I think that if they have success against Bowling Green right now, who's ranked 16, right? Mm-hmm. In the pairwise, I believe, if they have success against them, I think they're back into it. I think that one of those teams is going to be eliminated from contention after this week. And if a team can go 2-0, I think that could get them up to maybe 15 or 14. And then, you know, we could potentially have a couple of teams in the final, in the NCAA tournament. And what we're hoping happens is that we have success against Mankato and we are able to win the playoffs and maybe have three teams in the tournament, us as the playoff team and two others and maybe some at 14 and Mankato. So, it can go a lot of ways right now.
Yes. And, Bowling Green winning their series over Ferris State had a little bit of a scare on Friday night when the game went to overtime, and I think Cruz had scored
both
goals.
Goals.
I think the goals were identical. The scoreline was identical. The assists were exactly the same on both goals.
Yeah, they did a good job. They're a good team in their own rink as well.
All right, so that sets up for this weekend, Coach. Minnesota State, a team that we have not played in a long time. That series seems like last year already since we played them, and it was very interesting both third periods.
It was Friday. Last year.
Well, that's true. Last season. It seemed like last season. Yeah.
It was a long time ago, and it was, if you recall, in both those games, we were tied late in the game, and special teams got away from us, and they had 5-on-3s, I believe, on both nights, and kind of rode the power play out for the last 5 minutes of both nights. So, we're hoping for a better fate. And I'm looking forward to getting on the ice with them. They are as good as any team in the country. I believe they have the longest winning streak in the country right now.
13 game undefeated streak.
Yeah, so they have depth at every position. They have a high compete level. They're Hasty and his staff do a great job in their preparation. There's no weaknesses on their team. They're great on the rush. They're great on offensive zone play. If there's anything that they do that gets a little irritating is they do partake in the gamesmanship part of the game where they'll draw penalties. And, so we're hoping that the referees are, you know, aware of that and call that for what it is. But when they get on the power play, they're dangerous on it. So, you know, you certainly want to make sure that every power play they earn is truly earned. But great team, great staff, and I'm looking to see our growth as to where we're at as a program based on them. You got to play the best to know where you're at, and these are the struggles that we talk about all the time. These are the opportunities to gauge and to grow, and we'll grow a lot out of this series.
All right, well, let's get to a couple questions here before the next break. And first question is, Coach, first off, congratulations on the series win. The question is about playoff travel rosters. Remind us again how they differ from the regular season. Are you allowed to bring extra guys as they could be needed in a series like this?
Yeah, you can regular season roster, 22-man travel roster, you have to designate it beforehand. And then when you get down to playoffs, you can bring your entire roster.
Okay. Next question. It seems like there have been some verbal commits that have decided to go to different universities, Coach. How is recruiting going? And it looks like we might need some help on the blue line and perhaps in goal if Carroll was leaving.
No comment on guys that were committed. We are, I think recruiting's gone extremely well. I like what we have committed out. There's several sites available to look at that. And I like where we're at as far as our recruiting going forward. So I think we've addressed the areas we need to address. We're going to carry a larger roster next year, which I think is important. We saw where we got to a point this year where we didn't have enough to address. Mm-hmm. So, I like where we're at.
All right, this is the next question. This is from an old...
Oh, you're smiling.
Well,
what's going on?
Yeah, this is an old buddy of mine, big-time Husky hockey fan from back in the day. And as a Husky hockey fan, my largest disappointment in the program lies in the area of nicknames. Smitty, Jacko, Balt, all rank zero on the creativity scale. Uh-huh. Looking to the future, do we have any hope in this area, Coach?
Send some suggestions. I just go by what I hear them, how I hear them talk about each other. I haven't made any nicknames. I mean, they call Dane Burks the doctor. How do you like that one?
Yeah.
And he self-professed the doctor. doctor of, I'm sure of a lot of things.
Yeah.
So, send them in. And you know what? That usually comes off of the guys that call the game. Like, those are the guys that usually come up with the...
You think so, hey?
Well, that's what it is. They make up names for lines. The media make up names for lines and make
that's
up
true.
Names for players.
That's
and,
true.
I mean, Wayne Gretzky didn't coin himself the great one.
Yeah.
You know, Gordie Howe didn't coin himself Mr. Hockey, and I'm sure the coaches didn't either. It comes from the media and from the press.
Next question, Coach. Can you provide any updates on improvements to the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena, especially on the East End? Do you have anybody talking about that recently?
There's always talk. It's not for my place to say unless I'm probably asked to go out and make any type of comments on anything like that. Because I'm, you know, anything that I hear, there's probably, you know, four or five decisions made after that. You know, we have meetings, but I'm not part of day to day, discussions on that.
All right. If you got a question for Coach Sean, you still have time to get one in if you're listening here on Monday morning. DJ at the Mix 93.com. We'll be right back.
Stop in this month at Harder's CarQuest of Calumet. Save up to $40 by mail on CarQuest Platinum Professional Brake Pads and 2 Rotors. Offer valid through March 28th at Harder's CarQuest of Calumet.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover.
Go in to CarQuest and roll on.
In
sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology, cutting edge. Experience, over 28 years. Results, game-changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Your local Carfax Advantage dealer, Kumna Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, has announced a huge inventory reduction sale on all their in-stock cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Save thousands on a broad lineup of quality, clean, pre-owned vehicles, selectively chosen, thoroughly inspected, and guaranteed for your utmost satisfaction. Stop in today and take advantage of the amazing sale prices on the cleanest pre-owned vehicles you'll find anywhere. That's the big inventory reduction sale going on now at Kumna Automotive, a family-owned automotive center on the business strip in Houghton. 482-7988 or go to KumnaAutomotive.com.
Tax time is here. Let the tax professionals at Lake County prepare and e-file your income tax return. The Affordable Care Act, identity theft, the earned income credit and education credits are just a few of the reasons you need the services of the tax professionals at Lake County. Lake County will ensure that you receive all of the credits and deductions that you are entitled to. Lake County is ready to relieve the stress related to tax preparation. Call 482-2370. That's 482-2370. Lake County, located 1 mile west of the Copper Country Mall, Houghton.
The Khalifa Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with home-style service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Khalifa Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
You are tuned to the Joe Shen Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. The Huskies, they're most healthy in a long, long time, with Mitch Ranke coming back and everybody else kind of getting more healthy and closer to 100%. And that obviously paid was a big part, I thought, of last weekend. I mean, not just Ranke in the lineup, but just guys that have, even if they played the last couple of weeks, they seem to be more closer to 100%.
Yeah, and it balances out our lines. It gets everybody where we're most comfortable having them. And the more time, like we said, the more time that the Smith and I won't use nicknames, Smith, Baltus, and Jackson line spends together, they'll get back to where they were at prior to all the injuries with the offensive production they had. So right now we're getting some great performances by some players. We're getting great line play out of the Lucchini line. We're getting good line play for sure out of the Stamen line. But our depth is much better. People are where we want them to be right now. Defensive core is healthy. The only guys we really have out of the lineup right now are Keegan Ford, who obviously had knee surgery and was out for the year after the Lake State series prior to Christmas, and then Alex Gillies is out with an injury. So those are the players that are out, and everybody else right now is available to go.
Coach, guys like Thomas Beretta, Mason Blacklock, Ray Bryce, anybody else that might be on that, I guess you call it a fourth line or whatever, how important are they to this team success, especially this weekend at Minnesota State?
Every guy in our team's important. You know what I mean? Every guy, whether they're in the lineup on a particular game or whether they're not in the lineup, they all assume a big part, a role, in what we do, whether it be depth. They've all played. Everybody on our roster has played this year, which is a big deal, and they're all extremely important to what we do. So, what we're looking for out of that line is to give us great energy, to try to play as much as possible in the offensive zone, to get faceoffs in the offensive zone when they're leaving the ice. And they're doing that job for us. They're doing a good job. And they're, you know, last week their minutes were low. So, you know, they're doing extra work in between periods and things like that to try to keep themselves going, avoid cramping and things like that. So, they're doing a great job, professional in how they approach it. So, and on any given night, you know, I could go to the rink and Brew could come in and sit down in my office and I'll look at him and, okay, what's going on? And I could be told that three guys are out and all of a sudden A bunch of guys are in, but the good thing is all those guys have played in different spots. I mean, we've had a lot of, you know, a lot of top end players miss a lot of games this year, in and out for various things. So, none being probably more important than Brent Baltus, who's almost a point a game guy for us, and especially in league play. He's had a tremendous year for us, but he's also missed games with injuries.
If you look at the stats for Minnesota State, and CJ obviously is the guy that's got the most points right now. He's 22 goals, 21 assists for 43 points. Zeb Knudsen right up there too with 41. Michaelis, who's had an outstanding freshman year, having another outstanding sophomore year. Remco, I mean, just go through the line, and what you keep reiterating, Coach, is that there really are no weaknesses on this team going forward.
No, not even at the blue line. Their blue line, their defensemen jump. You have to make sure you're above pucks all the time. You have to make sure you have good third man support. You have to make sure you have great rotations on your system so that guys aren't getting caught. They're extremely strong when they sense a chance to go to the net. They attack it and make plays. They have a lot of guys attacking in different areas while they're attacking the net. They like to spend time in hard ice. So they do everything that you'd want a team to do. We've had some great battles with them over the years, for sure. So including last year, a 3-game series with them last year. So they're good. Lutz is a great player for them as well. Mackey and defense has been an outstanding freshman for them. Brickley's, you know, he's up for the Hobie, and there's talk about him signing, and he was a deep consideration for the Olympic team. Lackavy has solidified their goaltending. So they have balance throughout their entire lineup, through all four of their lines. Knutson, great player that scores goals. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could just go on and on about with different players. So, looking forward to it. We have to control everybody. We can't. It's not like we can. First of all, we don't get matches. But if we did get matches, in all honesty, where do you match? You know, like, you know, Ian Scheid's capable from the backside of creating offense. So every guy they have is a good player. I think every guy we have is a good player. So we're looking forward to the challenge of it. It's a great opportunity for us. It's a great growth. Again, it's a great growth gauge for where we're as a program. We'll see a lot. Every time you get into a different situation, it clarifies your thought process, adds a little bit more to your thought process for as far as recruiting and depth and where your team is at, where the growth is, you know, what guys are not making growth is our players, are some players, do they still have a lot of potential or have they reached, you know, are they limited in different areas and do we need to upgrade? Are we looking for this guy? You know, you look at a guy like Grayson Reitmeier this year who just keeps taking on bigger roles. You know, he's a big guy. It often takes big, lanky players a while to get going in a year. You don't know as a freshman coming in what the potential is, what the capabilities are. But now we're seeing it. So next year, Grayson may come back and it may take him a little while to get going again on the year, but then he'll go that much farther. Mm-hmm. But the role that he's assuming right now, he's getting power play time. He's getting penalty kill time. He's playing on one of our top lines. So you're looking for that growth, and where's his limit? Is he near it? Is he still continuing to show growth? Spend a little bit more time on this area or that area to see if you can get different guys over a hump on different areas. So, these games, we talk about it all the time, Dirk, with our players about the growth comes through the struggle. And we even were talking, I think, about last week in practice where you have part of your practice. It's just muscle memory. It's for speed. It's for skill. It's flow. But then you have a part of your practice that's game oriented. And if a team is not good in that part of practice, which we have had gone in and out on that in the year, and we've gotten much better at that, through discussion and things like that, that's the part you really gauge. And you tell the guys, we gauge who plays, not on these skill drills in practice. You know, that's a small part of it. It's on these game simulation drills, the struggle drills, the drills where you get opportunities to have serious reps. And this is where we want you to work out figuring this thing out. We want you to work out where you can try different plays on the puck. That didn't work. That did work. We want you to talk together as units and as lines and things like that. So, And these games, like the tougher the game, the farther we go now, the tougher the game, the more opportunity for growth. You know, we'll grow out of the Bemidji series for sure. We'll grow out of this weekend series and hopefully have a chance to play again, and we'll grow out of that game. So, everything is about working through struggle. Anything with life is working through struggle, you know. You know, maybe even our country, and to some degree still being such a new, you know, how many couple hundred years old and things like that, still coming out of, you know, a lot of the struggles and working through things, and continuing to get better. So, you have to go through it. You can't avoid it. You can't dodge it. You can't, entitle your way through it. You have to go through it. You have to earn your way through it. And some of us do and some of us don't. And we're looking for the guys that have it within them to work their way through and figure it out.
Another question coming in for you, Coach. Mitch Ranke, watching him this weekend, it seemed like he made an impact on his first shift on the ice. What is it about Mitch Ranke that creates that time and space that almost seems to trickle down to the other defensemen in the lineup, too?
He's a hockey player. You know, he's a hockey player. He's got a great brain. He's got great skill. He's got on-ice awareness. He knows situational value, what to do, when to do it. He doesn't overhandle things. It's rare that he makes a critical mistake with a turnover or something like that. I mean, one jumps out at me where earlier in the year that where he got stripped in our zone and they turned and put it right in our net early in a game. I'm trying to think who that was against at home, but it was maybe 6 weeks ago. But they're few and far between. He's a hockey player. And the key thing that you said there, great. I mean, there's a lot of really good hockey players. There's a lot of really good people at everything. Great people make the people around them better. And that's a great testament from whoever posted that or sent that in, that it seems to trickle down to the other players. Great people make the people around them better in whatever they're doing. Great parents make their kids better. Great kids make their parents better. You know, he makes people better.
All right, quick timeout. We'll be right back with Joe Shano.
Here comes the second round of the WCHA playoffs for the Hockey Huskies on Mix 93.
Burks, Guerlucini over, one-timer scores! It is Lesperov!
One down, two to go. And Michigan Tech heads to Mankato to tangle with the third-ranked Mavericks of Minnesota State in a best-of-three WCHA semifinal series. Our coverage starts at 7:30 Friday night, 7:30 Saturday night, and if necessary, 7:30 Sunday night. Michigan Tech playoff hockey at Minnesota State this weekend. Only on the Voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ.
Welcome back to the Joe Shawn Hour here on Mix 93. Big weekend against Minnesota State coming up, and we can't wait. We will be on the air, as the promo just said, at 7:30 Friday, Saturday, and if necessary on Sunday. The great Bob Olsen passing away over the weekend, and Coach, we were talking earlier in the show off the air that you remember back in your day checking the Wimple national poll, the only one there was at the time.
Yeah, I remember back in the heyday when it was important, especially this time of year, when it was so important to be updated on things, because things change. So, and this is prior to internet, prior to, you know, that instant access that we had. The instant access was Wimple. So, I still remember, like, which Wimple got, which Wimple on the polls and on scores. Mm-hmm. Did anybody contact Houghton? Does Wimple have the scores? Mm-hmm. You know, and calling over, someone calling over, call Wimple, find out what happened at North Dakota, or, you know, because certain games were important, you know, and when you got down to the end, when you're doing your pairing for the national tournament seeding and things like that, like during the games, like after the game, what happened, you know, call Wimple and find out what happened in, you know, at Boston College or whatever. So they were the source, and you know, I never had the pleasure of meeting Bob that I recall. Maybe if I saw a picture of his face, but the impact that he obviously, the legacy that he left, and the impact he had on college hockey was tremendous.
It was, and Mitch and I were reminiscing yesterday on the air, but we were talking about, you know, I would come in here to watch the guy work the board for Bob's Tech hockey games, and that was before automation, obviously. It was just a pile of cards here. And I just remember Vince, the guy that was, you know, he was a college student, I believe. He was just sweating because he was taking calls, you know, and he knew after he got done with the game, he had to go and take that cheap little, answering machine and record all the scores on it. So anybody calling in, and it was just, it was such an event. It was great. I just remember him sweat pouring down and, you know, Bob calling for the certain things, and he had to be good, you know, because so many people were listening. It was a different time. And Bob was just a little bit ahead of everybody else as far as that was concerned.
Isn't that doesn't something like that though just add to the uniqueness of this hockey area?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that's what's so great. You know, we're looking at different things, different environments, and even like Michigan Tech. You know, with the university, do we have time here?
You got about 20 seconds.
Okay, so I can't get into too long. But even the university schools are trying to get a hold of Michigan Tech to find out how can we be more technical,
right?
Because that's where the world's going, and with the hockey, like people are following they want to know what the band does, they want to know what the Misfits do. There's that just that stuff that's developed here. It's been phenomenal.
Coach, congratulations on the series win. We will see you down in Mankato. Good luck this weekend.
Great, thanks, sir.
All right, that's the Joe Schein Hour here on Mix 93.